Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and I got a question. You ready for some degeneracy? Because it's Grim's Hentai Corner, and we are back with Bible Black. I don't know how good my voice is going to be, because I just read 163 pages of Spawn, but we're going to go ahead and do it. Maybe I might just pop a fucking cough drop or something. Rest assured, I won't be talking that much tomorrow. I say that, but you know how these things are. There we are. So, let's get started. So you're not gonna get up, eh? Alright then. I hear her rustling around, then she places something in my ears. Wake the heck up! Instantly I jump out of bed. I've got a stethoscope against my ears and Amari's holding the end of it like a microphone. Come on, how long is it gonna take you to get up? Is it morning? I yawn and ask Amari this. She's standing next to me. Are you still dreaming or what? True, this doesn't look like my room. And I'm in my uniform. There's a faint hospital smell, too. Is this a school infirmary? There's nothing strange about me being asleep here, but why were you sleeping next to me? I wonder why. I remember getting roughed up by Inoue and the gang on the roof. Then I went to the basement, and after that I remember. What time do you think it is? The club meeting ended a while ago. I glance at my watch and see that it's the end of the day. A lot of time has gone by since I was in the basement. Basement. That's right. I was in the basement. And I remember everything. What happened in the basement? Kitami and I. Could that have been a dream? What's the matter? You look so lost. Huh? Oh, it's nothing. Listen, where's Kitami? How should I know? Nobody was around when I woke up. Oh. I don't know how long I've been in here either. It feels like it all happened in a dream. Anyway, let's go home, or else the gate will close on us. Yeah, you're right. I gave up trying to figure it out and get up from bed. Are you alright? I asked Amari this as I extricate myself from the bed. Yes, I slept soundly, so I'm fine now. Grr, I'm so mad he beat me. Next time I see him, I'm gonna kick his butt. Amari's totally unfazed, as if nothing happened. She's just her usual self. I can't believe how thick-skinned she is. Thud. As soon as my feet hit the ground, something falls to the floor. I look and it's something wrapped in white cloth. The Book of Magic. I pick it up in a hurry. I don't remember bringing that with me. When I stand up, I'm overcome by fatigue. My body feels super heavy. What's wrong? It's nothing. I shake my head to get rid of it. My stomach hurts. I touch it and it tingles painfully. I pull up my shirt to have a look. There's a bloody triangle on my shirt. It's like a diagram drawn in blood on my shirt. Symbol of the contract. It was Kitami who drew it. In that case, everything that happened in that basement was for real. I quickly conceal it from Amari. Let's go. I pick up the cloth-wrapped book and leave the infirmary with Amari. Click. I'm home. I call out as I stumble inside my house. Amari had vented all her anger against Inoue and his gang on the way home, but I barely heard her, only giving her vague responses from time to time. Right now, I don't have time to listen to her rant. I sit down at my desk and open my bag. I take out the Book of Magic and set it on my desk. I remember bringing this down in the basement, and then I had sex with Kitami. When I close my eyes, it comes back to me. My body still remembers how it felt. Yawns. I'm really wiped out today. If I get in the bed, I'll fall asleep within 3 seconds. Can't blame me, really. Not after what happened in that basement. I get up from my chair and tear off my clothes. I leave my sister a note telling her I don't need dinner, and then I dive into bed. I can't tell what's true and what's not. I remember Kitami's words. Kitami, a demon master who took part in that ritual 12 years ago. But can that be true? It's odd that she's the only one who survived. And if you go by what Kitami told me, the story doesn't add up. But pondering all this won't get me any answers. I have too much to talk about. I don't even know what I should straighten out first. As soon as I lose concentration, I sink into sleep. I roll over in bed. I exit the land of slumber and swiftly return to the land of reality. Slowly, I open my eyes. Silence. I don't hear Amari's voice or see her anywhere. Good night. Throws back blanket. Shit, I can't sleep. I have no choice but to shove aside my blanket and get out of bed. Don't you hate those days where you want to sleep and you can't? I'm impressed that I got up on my own. That only happens once a year or so. I shouldn't use up all my luck on something like this. I bet it's gonna rain today as a result, but when I look out the window, it's not raining. I rub my drowsy eyes and look at the clock. It's only a little after 7 in the morning. I've got more than 30 minutes before Amari shows up. I add up the number of hours I slept, and I can see why I was able to get up. That's right, I went to bed as soon as I got home. No matter you look at it, I've slept for more than 12 hours. It's way more than a recommended minimum. So it's neither surprising that I was able to get up on my own, nor is it something to crow about. I stretch and yawn. Since I'm up, I might as well get ready for the day before Amari shows up. I shed my pajamas and get into my uniform. Click. What the heck? What are you doing up so early? When I step out into the hall, my sister, who's just gotten up herself, is walking by. She's practically naked. She's strolling around the house without even trying to hide her private parts. Goddamn flasher. Just because she doesn't have a guy to strip in front of her doesn't mean she has to walk around the house like that. So what if I am? You got a problem with me being up early? It's a miracle to see your face right after you've woken up. Really, I'm stunned. This is so unusual. It's not gonna just rain, it's gonna snow. Actually, the Lord of Terror might even descend. That's really harsh. Oh well, I guess it is pretty unusual. But look at her, her underwear is totally exposed and her boobs are about to pop out from her tank top. Actually, they are hanging out. She's not wearing a bra, so you can see the outline of her nipples. She wasn't being too liberal, even for inside the house. If she wasn't my sister, you couldn't blame me for jumping on her. Hey, what are you looking at, pervert? Don't tell me you're getting off looking at my body. Give me a break. Now. Hey, since you're my kid brother, I'll give you the privilege of touching my breasts. Come on, now. What? With that, Yukiko thrusts her massive boobs closer to me. I stare at Yukiko's boobs thrust under my nose. I can feel my crotch stirring a little. I want to rape her. Huh? I hear the voice inside my head, and before I know it, my hand is reaching out to touch her breasts. Squeeze. Hey, you! My hands squeeze her boobs mercilessly. I begin to massage them skillfully. While I'm doing this, my fingertips start playing with her nipples. Hey, stop that! Yukiko turns red as her body begins to quiver in response to my skillful nuzzling. I can feel her nipples stand up straight. I forget myself as I continue my assault. For a moment, she gives in, but then suddenly she snaps out of it and shoves me away, pushing away my hand. Stop it, I said. I don't care if it's a joke. I won't have it. If you do that again, you'll wish you were never born. With that, she retreats to her own room, her face still red. What do I think I'm doing? I stand there in a daze, staring at my hand. I forgot myself and massage Yukiko's breasts. Something's wrong with me. I looked upon Yukiko with lust, as if I were being manipulated by an unseen force. I could still see Yukiko's outraged face. Normally she lets everything go as a joke, but this time she was truly disturbed. I should apologize. I head toward her room to apologize right away. I stand in front of her door and put my hand on the knob. I stop myself just as I'm about to open the door. I can hear Yukiko's voice faintly beyond the door. Oh, ah, this is amazing. Look how wet I am. This can't be. Her voice just doesn't sound normal. I open the door silently, just a crack so I can peek inside. Ah, okay. Through the crack in the door, I can hear Yukiko moaning with ecstasy. She's so wrapped up in what she's doing that she doesn't notice me watching. I see her writhing all over her bed, thrusting her own hands between her legs. I've never seen her masturbate before. I can't believe I'm so aroused just from being touched like that. Ah! Her face is a mixture of confusion and ecstasy as she relentlessly pumps her hands inside her panties. This isn't enough to satisfy me. With that, she discards her soggy panties. They're sopping wet, so they stick to her leg. Then she sticks her hand between the bed and the mattress and withdraws something like with a round blue tip. It's a vibrator. I had no idea she used one. She turns it on and begins to whir and vibrate. She holds it against her crotch, adjusts the dial, and cranks it up to maximum speed. Instantly, she lets out a whimper of pleasure. She applies the vibrator to her clitoris. It must feel good because she leaves it there for a long time. She has a look of dazed pleasure on her face the whole time. Back here, too, she whispers this and turns off the vibrator. Then she removes it from her vagina and presses it against her anus. Don't tell me she's gonna use it there, too. She places her finger against the vibrator and shoves it up her ass. The blue object is pressed up into her ass. When it's halfway up her ass, she stops pushing. Fondling herself in the vagina, she turns on the switch. She writhes in crazed ecstasy as she treats herself on both sides. I had no idea my sister engaged in masturbation this intense. Awesome. I can't hold it anymore. I can't hold it anymore. I'm coming. I'm coming. Unaware that I'm observing all this, she lets out a shriek as she tries to climax. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. With a muffled shriek, my sister quivers as she orgasms. Splat, splat, splat. As she climaxes, she expels a vigorous stream of juice from between her legs. The liquid flows from between her legs, transparent and viscous. Glub, pop. At the same time, the blue vibrator pops out of her ass. It's glistening with her juice and flops across her bed, still vibrating. My sister is still convulsing from the effects of her orgasm. When the wave of pleasure has passed, she lets out a deep sigh and loses consciousness. Click. I close the door silently. I return to my room wondering about what I just saw my sister do. Her unexpected behavior baffles me. Considering that she seems so embarrassed, I must have been just as aroused myself. My sister suddenly engaging in crazed masturbation. Normally, she doesn't even look like she'd do something like that, but today of all days, and to do it so suddenly is definitely bizarre. Just then, I remember what Katomi said yesterday. He's a kind of incubus, skilled in the art of lust. As a man, I'm sure you'll find a lot of use for him, won't you? Don't tell me that this was the power she was talking about. The servant demon Katomi was loaning me. His name is Rasha. As soon as I utter the name, I feel the mark on my body. The triangular scar Katomi had scratched onto me throb hotly. I look down and see that it's swelling up. And then I feel something wriggling inside me. It's evil and cold. At the same time, it's lusciously sweet. The mysterious entity within me is squirming inside my body, and for some reason it also feels strangely familiar. At the same time that I notice its existence, I also feel a powerful surge radiating from it. I definitely possess some kind of mysterious power that I never had before. As if to test it out, I point to a cup on my desk. Crack! The cup on my desk instantly shatters. I can't blink my eyes. There's no mistake. This is amazing, to think I have power like this. I'm excited to see the effects of this power. An obedient demon who heeds my every order. There's no need for arcane chants or rituals. I shiver with excitement. My face breaks out into a smile. I feel as though there's nothing in the world I have to fear. Ding dong. Just then the doorbell rings. It's gotta be Amari. I've gotta make sure she doesn't notice anything different about me. It's still an unknown power to me. I've gotta restrain myself from conspicuous behavior until I've mastered it. Click. I unlock the door before Amari does and open the door. Oh! Amari is thrown inside since she'd been just about to open the door herself. Amari stares at the sight of me standing before her. Rub, rub, rub. Amari blinks her eyes and rubs them in disbelief. Good morning. Rub, rub, rub. She rubs her eyes some more. I must be hallucinating. Huh?
Alrighty.
Amari takes off her shoes, walks right past me, and heads towards my room. You're not hallucinating, Amari. I grab her by the arm and pull her back. What? No way, you'd never get up on your own, Minase. Just like my sister, Amari goes overboard in her shock. But I have, so what can you do? Seems like I have no choice. Alright, you woke up on your own. If you got up on your own like this every day, it would help out a lot. Amari makes this comment as we walk side by side. But I guess it wouldn't really be a good thing if that happened. Because then there'd be no need for me to come over and wake you up. She's contradicting herself. What's wrong with that? Well, I'm so used to coming over to wake you up every morning. If I didn't have to do it anymore, I'd feel weird. I even start heading over to your place on Sunday mornings sometimes. I'm so eager to wake you up, see? What is she, a junkie with withdrawal symptoms? Still, I don't mind having a day like today once in a while. It's refreshing, don't you think? Not really. It's the same as always. You're really mean. On the way to class, I see Katami walking ahead of me. I remember our meeting the day before. But Katami looks the same as usual, as if nothing had happened yesterday. She doesn't even look at me. Eventually, I cross paths with her. Come to the infirmary at lunch. She whispered this message into her ear as we pass each other. I make sure Amari doesn't notice anything and move away from Katami. We enter our first class. Since we left home on time, there aren't many students in the room yet. I head towards my desk. When I pass by Saiki's desk, she calls out to me. Don't forget about tonight. I'll think about it. That's all I say as I sit down at my desk. Now that I think of it, I'm supposed to be at that secret club meeting tonight. But at this point, it just seems stupid to take part in their little games. After all, I know what true power is. Well, I'll go if I'm in the mood. If I show them the power I have now, what kind of look will I see on their faces? In that sense, it might not be a bad idea to go after all. When the bell rings at the end of class, Mirai arrives at my desk. Uncharacteristically, Amari is not by her side.
Hey, Minase,
Inoue says they'll be waiting for you up on the roof at lunch. Not them again. After all I put them through yesterday, they still wanted to call me out? I gave you the message, alright? Make sure you go. If you don't, they'll come after me. Mariah is emphatic. She has a look of fear on her face, then she scurries away. I guess I'll have to go then. It's a pain in the ass, but I have no choice but to go. I've got to set them straight once and for all, or they'll never leave me alone. But Katami wanted to see me too. Alright, well, I'm supposed to go this way. If it's those guys, I guess I can make them wait. I decide to go to the infirmary first. Knock, knock. I arrive at the infirmary and knock just in case. No one answers, but the door opens. I open the door and go inside. There's no one around, but I can hear a faint sound. It's me, Minase. I call out to the empty room. Over here. I hear Katami's voice from the back of the room responding to my call. That's where the sound's coming from. I can hear a squishing sound along with a heavy breathing from that area. Apparently, Katami's not alone. Oh, ah! Miss Katami! Just then, I hear a guy's voice so high he sounds like a girl. I start walking in that direction. It's right where the beds are. What the hell? Yeah, some nurse. Well, she's nursing their male needs, I guess, right? Squish, squish, squish. Oh, Miss Katami! I wince at the sight. There's a very feminine boy on the floor, practically a woman. His pants are down, he's writhing in pleasure as Katami gives him a hand job. I can't believe this teacher is engaging in lewd acts with a student in broad daylight, and it's school to boot. You're a little early. Sorry, I'm a little busy right now. Coming from Katami, it doesn't sound like a joke. Don't tell me she does this all the time. I hope you don't mind waiting a little. I'll be done soon. Or would you like to give me some of your juice, too? Katami says this and makes a licking motion with her tongue. Can I? It would be too cruel of her to make me just stand by and watch while something like this was going on. Of course you can. Alright, take off your pants and come over here. I do as she says and remove my pants and shorts and thrust my prick in her direction. My, your penis is already huge, Minase. I like this fellow's prick too, but I'm also fond of yours. Katami stares in rapture at my throbbing prick and this feminine student's pink, innocent-looking penis. Give me a lot of juice to drink. With that, she pops my prick into her mouth. Katami begins to slurp noisily on my prick. As usual, she's damn good at it. While she's moving her mouth, she uses her hand to vigorously pump the other guy's prick, which is so huge it doesn't go with the rest of his body. Both of us are writhing and shivering in pleasure. It feels so good. Slurp, slurp, slurp. Pump, pump, pump. More, more, please. I want more. I can hear the other student moan in the soprano voice. He really sounds like a girl. Soon both of us are on the brink of coming. Slurp, slurp, slurp. Pump, pump, pump. I'm gonna come right now. As he receives Katami's intense hand job, he lets out a whimper. Miss Katami, I'm gonna come too. I'm ready to explode at any moment too. Go ahead, let out a ton of milk for me, boys. With that, she holds our pricks in front of her face. Drink it, please, drink it, Miss Katami. Miss Katami, I'm coming. Juice flows. Spurt, spurt. Chokes. We both expel sprays of semen, which Katami receives in her mouth. Spurt, spurt. The juice that misses her mouth drips down her body. Hitami's taking all this juice in her mouth and on her face. So hot. We both continue to ejaculate for a long time. Soon, Katami's face is dripping with juice. There's so much semen in her mouth that it's overflowing. Katami closes her mouth with semen still in it and begins to savor it. Gulp. Then she swallows it all at once. You can't beat freshly milked semen from young men, she says. Both of your juice was thick beyond belief. Katami flashes a satisfied smile. She looks like a little demon. If she felt like it, she could have gone on milking all the semen from us until we died. Alright, we're through here. You can leave now. If I feel like it, I'll invite you here again. We both put our shorts and pants back on. Katami gets dressed too and shoos the other student away. At Katami's words, the guy whose semen just drank... Hold on. The guy whose semen Katami just drank exits the infirmary looking exhausted. Alright, shall I tell you now? Katami returns to her normal self when she says this. I trust you're enjoying the power I gave you? Yes, I nod at her words. I'm glad. But if you desire it, you can acquire an even stronger power, like I have. With that, she smiles boldly. For that to happen, I need you to help me with what I'm doing. That's why I took you in as an ally. What are you planning to do? I'll tell you all about it. Why I came back here. Then she slowly begins to talk about her past. Twelve years ago, I sealed a pact with the devil. And I acquired this power. I used this power to get everything I wanted. Wealth, glory, everything I desired. But I knew that one day it would come to an end. There was an expiration date, you see, and it was unbelievably short. How long? 13 years. 13 years? Then the next night of Walpurgis marks the 13th year. Then you've only 5 days? That's right. When the pact expires, what's gonna happen? I'm going to die. That's what happens to those who sold their souls to the devil. When the time comes, I am bound to offer my body and soul to the devil. Just like a candle, the harder it burns, the shorter its life. But don't worry, I found a way to escape. For the first 10 years, I didn't even think about the pact expiring. But after 10 years had passed, I gradually began to feel the weight of fear. Thirteen years is far too short. No matter how much power you have, it's pointless if you only have a short time to use it. But it was already too late for regrets. Once I'd sealed the pact, there was no going back. But I started looking desperately for a spell that would allow me to escape. But a pact with the devil is airtight. Once it's sealed, it can't be broken, no matter what. But I didn't give up. I read scores of grimoires and ancient documents. Then while I was doing research on the origins of that grimoire, I discovered the first owners, the Knights Templar. And while I was studying about the Knights Templar, I stumbled upon a certain secret. The other owners were all killed early on, but the Knights Templar was able to hold on to their power and wealth for more than 200 years. In order to investigate this secret, I joined a secret organization called the Priory de Sion, said to have been involved in the founding of the Knights Templar, which still exists today. And there I found the answer. Among ancient documents, the Knights Templar knew of a spell that would allow one to escape a pact with the devil. It thought the first Grand Master, Hughes de Pyens, had sealed a pact with the devil by performing a secret ritual he... was able to maintain his power for over... was able to maintain his power for over 200 years. But how the hell did he do that? By soul succession. Soul succession. By sizing the soul from the body and transferring it to another body, it's a secret ritual. Hughes de Pyens performed the ceremony, and by transferring his soul to another body, he was able to deceive the devil. So he cheated by switching his soul with another and managed to escape from the pact he'd sealed with the devil. How can that be possible? If I perform this ritual, I have nothing to fear. I might even go so far as to rule the world someday. Katami can barely contain her excitement as she speaks heatedly. And I've already deciphered that secret ritual. All I have to do now is perform it. The ritual must be performed on Walpurgis Night, when the power of darkness is the strongest. Oh, Walpurgis Night. That's right, the anniversary of what happened 13 years ago. I can't afford to fail. Of course, you're gonna help me out. What do you want me to do? You're gonna get rid of all those who might get in our way. I'd like to save as much of my power as I can until we do the ritual. And also, you're going to capture a new body for me. An appropriate body for me. Who would that be? Kurumi, Imari. Huh? Then a soiled body, and a pure, innocent soul. She's the perfect victim for my ritual. This can't be. Why Imari of all people? The other day, when she was brought into the nurse's office, I made a thorough investigation. And I took a liking to her. I know her body will accept me without resistance. Can't you at least use someone else?
No. I can't. Otherwise, I would have gotten you involved, since you know Amari better than anyone else. If I didn't think you'd be of any use to me, I would have killed you that time. I know you can get a hold of that girl easily. She'd never suspect you. You can't back out now. Besides, you like that girl, don't you? What am I supposed to put here? Ah! Are you kidding? I deny it. Amari and I don't have that kind of relationship. You can't fool me, you know. You may not realize it yourself, but deep down inside, you look upon her as one of the opposite sex. But if that's the case, it's convenient for me. That means you don't care what happens to her, right? If we succeed with the ritual, then you'll be able to sleep with her. I'll be happy to return your love in Amari's body, that is. Well, it's a pretty good deal, isn't it? At her words, I nod silently. True, if Katami possesses Amari's body, I'll be able to experience the kind of arousal I can only dream about with Amari. Plus, there's no guarantee that Amari will ever be mine. In that light, doing as Katami says doesn't seem like such a bad idea. I can't escape from that pleasure. As long as I obey Katami, my lust will always be satisfied. So it's a deal, right? I have high expectations of you. You're going to work hard starting Monday in preparation for the ritual. That's right, today's Saturday and tomorrow's Sunday. Then I realize I have plans with Amari. That's right, I'm supposed to meet Amari on Sunday. When she hears this, Katami raises an eyebrow. A date? No. No need to deny it. That'll work out perfectly. If you two are going to be alone together, it might be a good chance to capture her. With that, she takes something out of her pocket and hands me some kind of tablet. Give her this. What kind of medicine is this? It's not poison or anything. It'll just make her fall asleep. If all goes well, call me. With that, she hands me a piece of paper with her phone number. Alright, I put them both in my pocket. Hey, that's right. I tell Katami about the secret club. I tell her that Psyche's invited me to go there tonight. Now that's interesting. Kaori Psyche, eh? The girl who's been practicing bogus black magic at school? After she hears my story, inspiration seems to hit her. Alright, why don't I go there too? Huh? I'm going with you. I'd like to see what kind of place they have. She smiles boldly as she says this. I'll bet she has some kind of scheme. Besides, it might not be a bad idea to make that apartment mine. Those three might come in handy, too. You'll take me there, won't you? I agree to Katami's plan. I never intended to get Psyche and the others involved, but at this point I have no choice. Now those three will be Katami's servants too, huh? Then let's meet up after school. I make plans to meet up with Katami later and leave the infirmary. Did I make them wait a long time? After I leave the infirmary, I head toward the roof. After all, I've been called out by Inoue. It's a pain in the ass, but unless I show up, they might come storming into the classroom again. I rush up the stairs, and open the door. You're late, you bastard. How long were you going to keep us waiting?
What the hell? I'll give you credit for not running away, even knowing that today's the day you die. As soon as he sees me, Inoue spits this out. This guy I humiliated yesterday. He sure looked pathetic yesterday, but now he's got a confident smile on his mug. Okay. You had a lot of balls yesterday. Do you know how much humiliation I suffered? As if I give a rat's ass. But today's different. I'm gonna humiliate you as much as I was humiliated yesterday. Let's see. First, I think I'll make you strip naked and jump off this roof. Don't worry, I'll write your will for you. What a dumbass. Hey, don't try to escape, because you're not gonna. Shinjo! Inoue yells out, and Shinjo emerges from the shadows. Here he comes. What the hell? This is that girl's little sidekick. You mean you guys got dissed by this little turd, too? Haha, well, the punk used some kind of weird technique, see? Inoue forces a smile as he confesses to Shinjo. For Christ's sake, listen, I'm not your goddamn bodyguard. Sorry. Whatever. Hey, punk, I don't know what technique you use, but I'll take you on. Come on, bring it! Shinjo steps in front of me, brimming with confidence as he says this. What's wrong? Put your fists up, or are you too scared to move? Leering, Shinjo baits me. I'm just standing there motionless, not even getting into position, staring at Shinjo with exasperation. I'm ready anytime. Quiver, quiver, quiver. Shinjo's fists start to quiver as he looks at me. Don't give me that shit! With a yell, Shinjo lunges at me. Rasha. I summon the demon servant to test his power. Ugh. In that instant, Shinjo stops in his tracks as if he's being restrained by an unseen power. What's the matter, Shinjo? Aren't you gonna rip that guy to shreds? I know, I am. Shinjo looks frantic. Of course he does. His body just defied his will. It's not doing his mind's bidding. What's wrong? Where'd all your bravado go? Aren't you gonna rip me to shreds? You shut the fuck up. In my mind, I bid the demon to take control of the guy in front of me. Shinjo's face contorts in pain, but he refuses to give up. He's a persistent bastard. God damn you, what the hell are you doing? Either Shinjo's got an iron will, or else my power is not sufficient to subdue him, but his resistance continues. It must be a pretty funny scene for Inoue and his gang. We must look like cartoon characters facing off. Ugh! Snap! Just then, Shinjo's eyes go dull and he begins staring off into space. He succumbed to my power. Ugh, you were pretty tough to crack. Shinjo's listening to me with a vacant look in his eyes. The sky is beautiful, huh? I say this as I look up at the sky. Don't you think it would be great if you could fly across that sky? I think I'd like to watch you fly. Shinjo nods his head. Without hesitation, he stumbles towards the edge of the roof. What's going on, Shinjo? Inoue doesn't know what to make of Shinjo's mysterious behavior. Can't you see I'm a bird, jackass? With that, Shinjo starts flapping his arms, jumps over the railing, and leaps into the sky. Whoosh! Splat! Ah! Someone just dropped out of the sky! Somebody call an ambulance! I can hear female voices screeching down below. Jerkwad. I laughed derisively at Shinjo. Inoue's plan failed. Instead, it was Shinjo who jumped off the roof. Oh well, there's a nice off flower bed where he landed.
Surely a big strong guy like him wouldn't die from a fall like that. You wanna fly too? I asked Inoue and his gang this. They look like they're about to piss their pants. Help! Somebody help us! Do you swear you'll never defy me again? We swear it, we'll do anything. We're your underlings now. Inoue is spluttering frantically. Then I'll let you go this time. Don't forget what you just said. They nod their heads vigorously up and down. Seeing this, I leave the rooftop with a smile on my face. Lunch is over and it's time for my boring afternoon class to begin. Bell rings, of course. Let's go to our club meeting. As usual, Mari comes to my desk when the last bell rings. I've got something to do today, I can't make it. There you go again, but you can't fool me anymore. But it's true. You've ditched all this time. If you don't start showing up, you'll never finish your project. And Mari refuses to listen to me. Just then, I'm summoned over the PA. I'd ask Katami to arrange that in advance. See? I told you. Alright, I guess I'm gonna have to believe you. Even Amari has no choice but to believe me. I say goodbye to Amari and head towards the infirmary. After I got to the infirmary, Katami and I had sex until it was time to leave. Oh. And now we're standing in front of the apartment building. We're just about on time. This is the place? She's dressed nice. Yes. Well, it seems like a good place. Out of the way, it's probably soundproof, too. Katami and I head towards the room Saiki's coven was renting. I wonder what they'll be like when they see I brought Katami along. We walk down the hall and stop in front of a door with no nameplate. Ding dong! I press the doorbell. I can hear it ringing beyond the door. Yes, I hear a familiar voice coming from the intercom. It's Amatsuki, one of the members of the coven. It's me, Minase. Hang on, I'll get the door for you. Presently, I hear the sound of the door being unlocked. Click! Welcome, so you came after all. And here we are, folks. They just let Katami inside of the little coven they're having here. I don't even remember what happens, it's been so long, but if you're eager to find out what happens too, then you better definitely catch us when we do Bible Black again on Grimm's Hentai Corner. And for now, it's the Grim Lord, and I am out of here. See you next time.